Welcome to the Brown Palmas podcast. Today's podcast features Jake Hall, founder and creative director of Preview, a contemporary menswear design house based in the heart of East London. I chat to Jake, former footballer and TV star, about how he turned his personal brand into a very successful business. I'm Louise Duffy, and this is the Brown Palmas podcast. Jake, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Yourself?
I'm very good. I'm delighted to be talking to you, and I'm so happy to see your amazing label on the floor of Brown Palmas. So tell me about it all. Where did it all start for you, this incredible business you have?
It's a bit of a long story, but I'll go from way back. I always wanted to play football, and I sort of played to a semi-professional level, but didn't quite make it to the level that I wanted to be at. So I think at the age of like 21, 22, I decided that I'm going to sort of give up football, which was obviously a very tough decision because it was a dream of mine. Yeah. And I decided to get into fashion. So I see sort of a niche in the market at the time for, you know, a matching top and bottom, which seems quite normal now. But at the time, there was only like Nike or Adidas tracksuits. And I knew that everyone was, all my friends was walking around with like Lanvin trainers and wearing tracksuits to go with it. So I thought there's got to be a smarter tracksuit at a more affordable price point. So we created this sort of twin set, we called it. The word twin set come from a women's brand that I see, and they called it a twin set. So I thought, I don't want to call it a tracksuit because the tracksuit sounds cheap. So we called it a twin set. And then it was sort of like, I wasn't ever involved in sort of like the fashion industry. I didn't go to college or anything like that. So I then sort of set up a little mini factory thing in my garage that a young girl said that she could make tracksuits or twin sets. But I knew once I had one tracksuit, I could sell it through Instagram and get more orders from it. So that's where we started. The tracksuits wasn't the best of quality, but it sort of, that was the start for me as a business and as a brand owner.
And it's absolutely improved since then. I think it's amazing. It's amazing that like you were fully on course for a life in football, which requires such dedication, and like to even be semi-professional is a huge success. You know, was it hard to leave that behind you? You know, it's such a passion.
That was something that I'd always wanted to do from a young age, from as long as I can remember. My dad taking me football is like my dream as anything. But I only wanted to be the best in what I did even with football. So unless I was playing in the Premier League, I didn't want to play. So so I knew that I wanted to do a brand and give it my best shot at that. And I feel like we're in the best stores, like the stores like yourself. Selfridges and a few others. So it's I feel like what I didn't do in football, I'm doing in a brand now, really.
Has it managed to kind of fill that longing for sport?
I look at it as a sort of a football team. You know, everyone's got to help each other. When people are down, you've got to lift them up, or vice versa. If they're not performing, give them a push. So it's like, it has got that football still mentality within our office, and we're very sort of like together, family based business.
Yeah. Do you have an office football team?
Well, actually, we've started a run club. It's a bit different. We've got a new Instagram called Preview Club. So it's going to be football. We're going to have five-a-side matches. We're going to have running club, so it's all going to be all the activity stuff because we've got gym wear now.
It's
going to be on there. So we're going to do like, climb Snowdon and just do more fun stuff as well.
That's what I think. Somebody who's into football and sport, you'll always find a way to merge that with your new business, no matter what you do. And no matter what you do, it sounds like success was, in the path for you. So if it wasn't football, it was going to be clothing. What's it like then when you see those footballers that you probably looked up to, like the Beckham or Dele Alli now wearing your clothes? What is that like?
Oh, it's lovely. It's nice to see, obviously. you know, the respect that, you know, from both sides, you know, that he wears the clothes, and then obviously I respect him as a footballer and people like that. So, you know, for me, it's great because it feels like I've sort of, well, I missed out on being a footballer, now managing to address footballers and things like that. So it is a nice, quite a nice feeling.
And you know what, with footballing, the, you know, or with any sport, retirement is always looming, you know, but yeah, now you've created something that can live forever for you until, yeah, until you decide. So you won here.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's like, I have thought that before, actually, and it's, yeah, this is sort of a lifetime thing, and I feel like, you know, growing this Preview family that we have is amazing to see. You know, when I see people wearing it, it generally gives me, you know, like goosebumps sometimes walking, yeah, out on the street or whatever, and I see people wearing the tracksuits. I tend to take photos of them. They're like, that weirdo taking photos of me, but it's a really, really nice feeling.
It's amazing. Yeah. Let's talk about the start then again, you know, because twin sets to me, like my granny wore twin sets, like, yeah, your nice little knit jumpers and your knit cardigans over them. So you've really repurposed and reinvigorated that notion. But what was, yeah, it like at the start when you were trying to find suppliers in London, trying to find producers? How tough was it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is extremely tough. Obviously, no money from the start. I mean, I set it up with hardly any money at all, I think about £2,000. And I think, you know, it was hard because you had to gain trust with, you know, being a young boy coming into a factory and saying, I want 10 tracksuits made. They sort of like used to laugh at me or, you know, until I found one that believed in me and then sort of like gained trust and you know, had a credit line with them a little bit, and that wasn't necessarily normal for, you know, a young man to be able to get. So I think that's why, I don't know, Preview throughout is a you know, family trustworthy business where you can, you know, from all the way from the fabric suppliers trusting us to the manufacturers to the, you know, the people that are buying it. It's just really become a cult, you know, family sort of brand, and we've got
it has. Ages, so. And at this stage, it's 5 years old now. Would you still consider yourself a startup, or you're on the next phase of growth now? It absolutely is established, but it's still new.
Yeah, it's still new. It's not a startup, but we've still got a lot to learn. You know, we embrace that. We want to, you know, that we're nowhere near the top level that we want to be at. But it's we're on a journey still, and we're going through stages. And I think each year we're leveling up a little bit more. So yeah, I feel like we're not a startup, but we're still learning. We still got lots to learn.
And what are the biggest lessons you've learned so far?
Oh, biggest lessons.
That's a tough question.
Day to day runnings, you know, people, dealing with staff and dealing with, like, I don't know, payment. Like, I mean, that's probably the main thing.
The administration of business is never easy. The creative side probably comes a lot easier, does it?
Exactly that. So the creative side for me has always been the side that I could, but the actual back end business side, I had to learn quickly, and I sort of learned from my mistakes earlier on. Money issues or whatever, but actually now learning how to sort of diffuse stuff like that, I think that's been the biggest learning curve for me. But again, I would never have learned it unless I got, you know, into that trouble at the beginning. So I always believe in, like, you know, you want to, you know, do it yourself and come across the hurdles and try and get through them best you can. At least that way you've learned from it.
Yeah. And tell me, okay, so obviously the world has changed a lot, particularly, like, you started 5 years ago, but just in the last year, things have changed so much. And now luxury tracksuits are what we all want to wear, whether we're working, whether we are, you know, staying at home or we're out and about. So how has the current climate affected your business?
Wow. It is, at the beginning, you know, once we found out about this whole virus thing and the, you know, how big it was and the worry and the fear and everything that was going through, I was very fearful of what was going to happen to the brand, because I didn't think anyone would be buying anything, because it is, you know, stuck at home.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, but I was sort of wrong. So, but what we've done was quite clever, was we the day that we all sort of all went back home, started working from home, we got a sofa and plonked it in the middle of the office, and we was like, right, we're reshooting everything on a sofa because it's going to be, you know, that's where we're going to be
that's
based.
True. Yeah.
And then we changed it all to loungewear. Luckily, this was very at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And literally it just was flying out the door, like, because obviously I think people were sitting at home that had some money around them, you know, had nowhere else to go. So shopping was what everyone wanted to do at that time. And we was lucky enough that we got onto that loungewear sort of buzz, and also the look of the, you know, being at home and the relatableness of being at home. And then also, you know, speaking directly with the customers, I think that's what we made it all about the customer, the journey for them to get involved in making products with us, to colors that they want to use in tracksuits, and making it really about the customer through that tough time, because then you could create the loyalty from that customer. And I think that's what we done really good through that time. So it got really good. Even, you know, through a very tough time and a scary time where I didn't know what was going to happen.
Because previously, you know, Preview has always looked so great on guys on holidays, and, you know, the travel aspect has been an important part of your campaigns, and now that's out the window. So it was a clever way to evolve what was happening in the world, and it looked great. And you're in so many of your campaigns. Like, do you feel that you're the embodiment of the Preview lifestyle?
You'd have to say that. I mean, my whole life, from the second I wake up to the second I go home, and sometimes I don't sleep at night over it, is Preview. So I'd say yes. Yeah. But I think, you know, the one of my favourite campaigns that we ever done was the Iceland trip. So we got the Preview customers to app friends of people that they might want to see do the campaign with us. So we flew, you know, a guy that was working at Whole Foods over to Iceland with us, and, you know, got him to stay in the hotel. They shot the campaign, and it's literally through Preview customers picking those people. So for me, that is one of the best ones we've done, just for the pure reason it is amazing to be able to take Preview customers away and then they become the campaign. So
there's a big connection with you and your customers then. I mean, like, so are you on Instagram direct messaging them and listening to them?
For me, that is the most important thing to our business speaking to the, especially through, you know, tough times like this as well. It's like we need that togetherness throughout everything that we're doing. So speaking to the customers directly on a day-to-day basis, it's not easy because obviously we get quite a lot of messages and, you know, lots of different
brand
messages.
Is growing so quickly.
But I think that'll always be part of our, that has to be part of our business moving forward, is that maintain speaking to the customer, because
absolutely
that's where you get the loyalty from.
100%. And in terms of the way the business has evolved then, so it started out with the twin sets for guys, and now, you know, you've got this amazing range for women as well. How much of a challenge was that to adapt your style and to adapt, you know, your design process to suit the female form?
So to be honest with you, we always sort of knew that moving Preview into women's was going to be a good move for us, because it was very twin set, very lounge, very, you know, it's easy to move on to that. And then obviously being with Missy, where, you know, she's a beautiful lady and she's got a very good fashion fashion following, it is quite an easy transition. But obviously the workload is, you know, we thought it was going to do okay, and then it just went insane. So it's been insane how well it's done.
And come here, so you mentioned Missy there, and you've a little girl as well. So has becoming a dad changed your approach to your business ethics and your business drive?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, having River just give me that, I don't know, one day, you know, once I knew that I was having a baby, it was like, autopilot mode. nothing can stop me now. So that gave me that drive to obviously want to be able to give my daughter the best life that I possibly can. Yeah. And get her involved in the fashion game one day.
I know. Look, she has a big legacy waiting for her now too. Yeah. So let's talk about the name Preview then. So yes. It means planned in French.
Yes.
How are you a good planner?
No.
Why did you go with Preview?
I love Parisian like look and feel. Like our office is like a warehouse, but it's got sort of a Parisian feel to it. So wanted to bring a little touch of that, but with an East London feel.
Yeah.
The name Plan is quite ironic. It's why it's called Plan, because nothing is planned at all. So in a good way, it's quite unplanned, to be honest with you.
There you go. So it's an ironic name. I like that. So, and Kamir, how does it resonate with the French market then?
It's starting to grow there. It's growing quite big in the US, all around Europe now. I can see, I've got the map on my phone when the orders or people are online. I'm sort of glued to that, looking at different countries. I've had some loads of random countries too, like in the middle of nowhere. So it's fun to watch it and see the growth of it, and just shows how big that, social media the internet is now, and especially now with this whole like, the phone addiction stuff is crazy.
I know. And then speaking of phone addiction, then is it impossible for you to leave your phone down and not watch your map of customers grown all the time? It must be hard.
Yeah, it is difficult because, sometimes you want to sort of have a little breather from it. But my work is literally from my phone all day, every day. Yeah. So it is tough. But it's finding the balance with anything. I think that's the key to life in general is trying to be able to find that balance for it all, really.
And you mentioned before, like, you do have a unique business model in that it's fast turnarounds, it's regular styles, limited units.
Yeah.
What's your unique business? Just explain that to me then.
Yeah, so we sort of went against the norm of a brand. So if I look way back to when we set up Preview on Instagram, it's at a time when there wasn't that many brands doing sort of like sales through Instagram. Because it's like literally post a photo, inbox us, and then we'll, this is right at the beginning, and then we send you, selling the money through PayPal, whatever it was. It was really early days. So that was sort of, we've grown into, Instagram keeps giving more and more better sort of apps and stuff like that, i.e. like you swipe up or you click and buy and things like that. So it was, we'd learnt the hard way at the beginning of the brand to sell through inbox. So when these new apps and things came through, it made us sort of a step ahead, really, I'd say. Because we were so used to it. And I think it took so long for brands to adapt, even big luxury brands, to adapt to that way of life. Now you see big brands doing a lot of pre-order and a lot of trying to change their business model, not just like a seasonal brand. So you buy it then, so for us, we've been able to adapt to that situation.
And you've been, like you say there, ahead of the game to a degree, or to a number of degrees, if you take the loungewear that we're now all living in, or even selling on Instagram. So what's your eye on next? What do you think the next thing is?
I think at the minute it's about monitoring the market a little bit. I think there's so much unknown, so it's about sort of keeping it safe, not going too, reining it in a little bit, but obviously not becoming boring. So it's like, how do you balance that? How do you balance that now with the unknown of what's going on? Obviously, when are we allowed back out and have a normal life again? I'm not too sure. So I think right now it's a case of monitoring life
and in terms of the expansion of your brand, is there somewhere you see it going, or like is there other ranges you want to include?
So I think the expand, and we're not going to really do many going away ones because I don't think that it sits right really at the moment.
We ain't going nowhere.
We're not going anywhere. So I don't think people will be able to relate to going on a nice trip to South Africa or something like that, dreaming big. I think we're going to try and we're going to, again, make it more personal, more speaking to the customer via Zoom calls, you know, having nice things that we're doing today, podcasts, getting people really involved in the brand and sort of shooting it from in and around the UK or wherever that we can go and beautiful sort of locations in the UK. So it gives people a reason and actually they can see that we can go on nice trips.
Yeah. And we're kind of discovering the beauty of our own countries again. Exactly. And that's just the one little chink of light. Well, look, we're so glad that you took the time to talk to us on this podcast, and whether it's 2021 or whenever, you have to come and visit us in Brian Palmas.
Oh, I can't wait. I've been to the store, I've been to Dublin. I love it. It's got great people. So I'm really, really excited about launching it, and I can't wait to come over eventually and just get the party started.
Exactly. Well, Jake, thank you so much. Lovely to chat to you today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Brian Palmas podcast. If you like what you've heard, be sure to subscribe and share, and follow us on Official Brian Palmas on Instagram for more updates.